us, or if you've been with us over this past month, you know that we've been talking about sort of a fivefold vision statement that we are using to guide our church life. I'm actually going to put our first one up. All right. At Great Commission Community Church, our mission, At Great Commission Community Church, our mission is to live out our name by making disciples who are committed to Christ, His community, and His cause. That's our broader vision statement. That's who we want to be. And we've been going through these five kind of more specific vision statements, and today we're going through the fifth and last one, and it's that we envision greater realities of God's kingdom in the DMV region as we participate in His redemptive work in our broken world. These are big, sort of fancy words to say that God has given all of us a job. And that job is to look like Jesus. All right? He's given all of us a job, and that job is to look like Jesus, who's our older brother, whose job it was to look like our Father in heaven. All right, there's a lot of did a little spoiler, I guess, but there's a lot of jobs in the world, so I'm just going to ask us, you can just shout it out. Think of a job. What's the first job that comes to mind? What's the job that people have? Anybody? Oh, man, this pastor, okay, pastor, all right, yeah. Actor? Engineer? Spy? Sorry? Software engineer, very specific, not just any engineer. Patent examiner. All right. What? Artist. Man, these are good ones. Doctor, waiter. All right. So many jobs. And these are the ones I thought of. What's going on? These are the ones I thought of. All right. So I love basketball, so I immediately thought of basketball players. There's like cooks. There's Supreme Court justices. There's firemen, there's carpenters, there's all kinds of jobs. But the thing is, God has given people all different interests and all different kind of things to do, all different kind of jobs to do, whether they're paid or not paid. But He's given all of us a certain job. All right? And so we're going to look at Genesis 1, 27 to 31, and we're going to read this together. Genesis 1, 27 to 31, and talk about this. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Basically, be over the world, everything you see. God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has a breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So that's part of His week, God's week of creation. And on this final day of His week of creation, He created man in His image. All right, so some people think, I think, when they hear or read this, that God wants all people to be like farmers. What's going on? All right. So, like, here's a picture of, Aquaman, because he communicates with the fish. Do you guys know that about Aquaman? He communicates with the fish. So he can, like, command an army of, like, dolphins and fish, and he rides, like, seahorses. And there's Tarzan, who communicates with animals, and above there are more mundane, like, gardeners. But sometimes we think of, our first great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers, and we think, oh, maybe that's what God wanted them to be. They're really in tune with animals, and they're really in tune with vegetation. They're farmers. They're zoologists and whatnot. But I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's what God wants everybody to be. Because I guess the biggest reason I think that is because Jesus was not a farmer. And Jesus, he didn't hate animals, I don't think. I think he loved animals, but it wasn't like he's working with animals constantly, right? So I don't think then, if Jesus wasn't that, I don't think we are compelled to think, oh, all of us have to be that. But this is what we see in Genesis 1:27. I'm going to read that one more time to help us, this little poem. God created man, that is human beings, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So what did God create people to be and to do? He created them to be in his image. All right, God created us in his own image. That is, to look like him by doing the kinds of things he does, to love what he loves, and to hate what he hates. So I'm going to just ask you guys to say that to somebody near you. Can you say to somebody next to you, God created us in his own image. Go ahead.
Very good, thank you. God created us to live in his image.
So that is our job. And that was a job God gave to the first people, our great-great-great-great-grandparents. They were supposed to do what God does, to love what God loves, and to build a great world where everyone treated God like their king. So just imagine, they were supposed to create a world where there is like so much fun, so much happiness, so much laughter, so much beauty, where no one gets left out, where no one feels lonely or picked on, where everyone is treated fairly and with respect, where we actually treat others fairly and with respect and with love. And these people with this great job to do, they failed. They were not good at this job. And we have the same job, and we have failed at this job too. We all fail at this job. But then, someone came. So this is a good news. Someone came who was really good at this job. And this person was actually perfect at this job. And this person was Jesus, who is God's Son. And I'm going to read a few passages from the New Testament. From Colossians 1:15, first, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. See, God created people to be in his image. Who's the one that really does that? It's Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Hebrews 1:3 says it too. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. And then I'm going to read this last part in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, just a chapter after this one. He says, the writer of Hebrews says, it was fitting that God, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's Jesus. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, and that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. And this is the crazy thing. Jesus has younger brothers and sisters. So Jesus was God's son, but he's just like the firstborn son of the family. And this family is supposed to be really big. Really big. Like, how many families here have one child? Can you raise your hand if you have one child? One child. God bless you. Any of you have two children. Ow! Yeah, that's my family too. Anyone with... Okay, I'm just going to make a jump. Anyone with five or more. Like, ow! Right? Okay, so this is like a little... This is a little picture of God's family. This is so huge. And what we're talking about is not just like one kid, Jesus, but we're talking about many, many brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible calls us. That we are actually Jesus' little brothers and little sisters. And in this way, we become people, because we have Jesus as our older brother, we are people who look like Jesus. And because Jesus looks like God, we also look like God. So I have two questions now. The first question is, wait, how does this happen? How do we become brothers and sisters of Jesus who look like Jesus, who looks like God? See, for most of us, actually, can I have you guys just stand up real quick? Just the three of you. Can you guys, three? I didn't ask them beforehand. Can you guys see them, these three? Okay, so they all sort of like look like each other, right? Can you tell that, I mean, not exactly, but they have some common characteristics. So they have like brown hair, like lightish to darkish brown hair. They have like nice brown eyes. Everyone brown eyes? No, that's all mixed. You have a similar nose? You got the same nose? All right. Okay, you guys can sit down. All right. So you get the point. So we have like similar, and this is sort of like a science lesson. I was just talking about this with my son the other day. Genes. Have you guys heard of genes? Genes? And there are two kinds of genes. So, like, there's, like, these genes. But these are not the genes I'm talking about. These are J-E-A-N-S, genes. But these are not the genes I'm talking about. I'm actually talking about genes, all right? So G-E-N-E-S. So this is, like, science and DNA. And basically what happens is, your dad has blue eyes, so you have blue eyes. Your sister has big eyes, so you have big eyes. Your mom has long fingers, so you have long fingers. Because there's like blueprints inside of you that we call genes. If any of you are like science teacher, I'm so sorry. But anyway, but there's like inside of you, there's like these blueprints that show like how you're supposed to look. All right, but this isn't how it works. So this is how it happens, like with our natural, like our blood family members. But this isn't how it works with Jesus as our older brother and God our Father. It's actually not this either. It's not through genes, J-E-A-N-S. It's not through genes, G-E-N-E-S. It's actually through the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's through the Holy Spirit. So if you know that Jesus has died for you and is coming back to resurrect you in this whole world, then God puts His invisible Spirit of Jesus in you. And instead of Jesus' genes, you have Jesus' Spirit. Instead of Jesus' genes, you have Jesus' Spirit. And because of that Spirit, the Spirit that is more powerful than genes, the Spirit makes us look like Jesus. And it makes us look like God our Father. God created us in His own image through the Spirit. I also have a second question. So when we say, like, we look like Jesus and God, like, what are we talking about? Because are we talking about, like, that we actually look like Jesus? So, like, who knows what color hair Jesus had? Brown? What about the color of his eyes? What color were his eyes? Brown? Okay, I don't know. Well, all right, this is the thing. The Bible doesn't say anything about what Jesus looked like. So we don't know. Actually, you know, did he have a beard? No, see, we don't know that. So there's no verse in the Bible where you say, like, Jesus stroked his beard. There's nothing like that. It's just, we don't know if he was clean-shaven, if he had, like, a long beard. We don't know. I mean, a lot of times when people paint pictures of Jesus, and we didn't have, like, photographers back then either, so it's not like we have this super old, like, photo. We just have, like, people's imaginations in their paintings. And so a lot of them imagine that Jesus had a beard. But we don't really know that. Yeah. And also, a lot of times, we kind of just make Jesus look like us. So if, you know, if what happened in, like, say, 1,000 years ago, a lot of people who were, like, say, blonde and blue-eyed started painting Jesus. And then we ended up with all these paintings of Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. And then other people who had a darker skin started painting Jesus. And they started painting Jesus, you know, and so on. Anyway, but nothing about his appearance is in the Bible, actually. We can guess, but the Bible writers didn't think it was very important for us to know what Jesus looked like. All right, we might be curious, but the Bible writers didn't think it was very important. So we're supposed to be in God's image, in Jesus' image. And we're supposed to look like him. But what does that mean then? So the Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus actually looked like, how tall he was, how what his skin was like, what his hair was like. But the Bible says over and over and over again what Jesus did and what Jesus loved and what Jesus hated. And it says over and over and over again what God our Father does and loves and hates and what He wants us created in His image to do. and love and hate. God created us in His own image. Jesus taught people what God is like. Our older brother Jesus taught people what God is like, and so we do the same. And not just pastors who stand in front of a church, but all of us. There are so many people who think that God doesn't love them. There are so many people who think God is just like an idea. There are so many people who think that God would never forgive them for really bad things they've done. And Jesus taught people, no, God does love you. God is real. And He is not far from you. And He forgives. Jesus healed people. So we heal people. And not just doctors or nurses. There are so many ways to heal people. Their bodies, their minds, their souls. We help people because Jesus, our older brother, did. We help people know what God's like. And we help people feel and experience God's love and Jesus' Spirit. We are generous to other people. And people who have like big needs in life get those things they need through us. That's what we do. Filled with Jesus' Spirit, our church serves with people like Casa Chirilaguan, helping Central American immigrants make a home in our city. There should be more than one woo there. Okay, if we're going to do a woo, let's do a big woo. I'll say that one more time. Filled with Jesus' Spirit, our church serves with Casa Chirilaguan, helping Central American immigrants make a home in our city. There we go. Our small groups. Like, and I think of Maryland group, I think of the courthouse group a year ago, Jared and Victoria led that, organized us to set up apartments for refugees from Afghanistan. Do you really mean it? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Like, we clean the park near Bailey's Crossroads with our Samaria team to make it more fun and safe and beautiful. Amen. Amen. We're about beauty. We're about goodness. We're about justice. We're people in our church, like, individually, do all kinds of things. People like Dorothy hang out with kids who are very poor and make sure they have a safe place after school. Help them do their schoolwork. Help them know they're special. Like with Little Lights, I know some of our like college students, other groups have gone there. God created us in His own image. Jesus didn't lie to people, so we don't lie to people either. Jesus sacrificed for other people, so we sacrifice too. Jesus forgave people, forgave debt, so we do too. God created us in His own image. Amen. Imagine with me a world where there is like no poverty, no war, no disease, no lies, no manipulation, no abuse, no assault. A world where no one's an orphan. A world where people care for each other more than for themselves. Where people forgive. Where people are valuable because of how they are loved rather than by how smart or rich or accomplished they are. Imagine a world where we're building things and cities and industries that don't rely on lying and taking advantage of people with less power. Imagine a world where we all know God, where we are all in right relationship with God, and we're all like God in His character, doing what He does, loving what He loves, hating what He hates, filled with His Spirit. And that's the world we're trying to live out. And like that word that we're using in our vision statements is cause. See, some people are lawyers, some people are basketball players, teachers, artists, grocery clerks, spies, students, mothers, fathers. But no matter what kind of job we have, God wants all people to do the big job of being like Him. And once we believe in Jesus, we become, not by genes, but by His Spirit, people who look like Jesus, and therefore people who look like God. We envision, I'm going to put this up one more time, we envision greater realities of God's kingdom in the DMV region as we participate in His redemptive work in our broken world. Again, that's a fancy way of saying we look like our big brother Jesus.
Amen? Let's pray. I'm just going to lead us in a couple things to pray. And the first thing is, can we thank God for making us part of His family? Can we thank Jesus for being our older brother? Can we thank God for making us look like Him because of His Spirit? Let's just thank God for these things. These are incredible things He's done.